Christ, open our hearts, open our minds, as we open your word. Be with us, O Christ. Amen. Greetings, everyone. Today's texts that I want to reflect with you on are from Genesis 25 and from Matthew 13. And there's a little bit of Romans in here as well. I want to invite you today into a deeper time of deeper meditation. And just a word about meditation. With all that's going on around the world and in our communities, we feel this constant stirring and whirling, and we can be tossed and tugged one way or the other. With our many months now of some withdrawal from many of the social activities we're used to, we might have found time for deeper reflection and meditation. Doesn't always work that way, does it? It's now into our fifth month since March, and actually for some who saw the threat of the pandemic coming earlier, since February or even January. Liz, our new temporary parish administrator who's stepping in while Emily is on leave as a parish administrator while she has her baby and has a couple months. Liz worked for years as director of Flying Doctors, a Christian medical mission organization that's similar to Doctors Without Borders. In February, these doctors saw what was coming with the coronavirus and shut down all flights for this entire year. This has not been an easy time. Many must continue working every day at sites of their work, not working remotely, and often in places that carry increased risk. Children have had to do school at home, and parents and grandparents have found themselves stepping in as homeschoolers to help kids learn and get their work done. Things are very much up in the air, looking into the future, for how we will proceed in all areas in our society as we face growing cases with growing hospitalizations. Here in Idaho, certainly in North Idaho, and in our county here of Kootenay, and across the country and across the world. How shall we live in such a time as this? We're all in deep uncertainty. Most of us have reduced our exposure and withdrawn at least from some public situations. We've had more time with ourselves and with those in our household. It may have been a golden opportunity to get in some projects, get some projects done, or to meditate more deeply and focus more on our own lives. But we simply haven't wired ourselves that way, most of us, have we? A meditative, contemplative, reflective pattern of life takes practice. It doesn't just happen, and it takes time for the rewiring to take hold. I have found this unsettling quiet with an uncertain future of this time period to be unraveling me in some ways, and probably in some helpful ways. I've lost some of my attachments to visions of what I would achieve and who I think I am. I've begun to let go of some grinding expectations and some dreams. I've found myself opening to the unknown with a bit more ease and acceptance. So all of that's good. But I have not taken the time I had hoped to meditate and pray more deeply on a really, truly regular basis. So I can't blame my schedule anymore. I have more open space. I can't blame the tug of multiple projects and efforts. I have to face the truth that I am who I am. And that includes that I can be prone to drift from thing to thing and not to choose the focus I want to have. Today's scriptures from Genesis and from the Gospel of Matthew invite us to some deeper meditation on ourselves and our own lives. I want to invite you into that space with me. And I want to take a lesson from Carl Jung here in approaching these stories and parables with a big perspective on the complex nature of ourselves. It would be easy for us to consider these stories and parables and ask, oh, which character am I in the story? What type of soil am I? And it's tempting for us as Americans to see ourselves as the one that benefits from God's blessing or from the good growth or whatever it might be. We don't like to see ourselves as the Egyptians. We like to see ourselves as the Hebrew people. We don't like to see ourselves as Cain. We would rather see ourselves as Abel. Well, nobody wants to see themselves as Abel. He's dead. But you get the idea. And Jesus has this profound example of a parable that he tells of the rich ruler who has someone who's indebted to him, a servant that's indebted to him for, what was it? It was 500 denarii. The man begs for forgiveness and say, have mercy on me. And the rich owner says yes and gives him leave of his debt. That man then goes out and takes hold of a man who owes him 50 and takes him by the neck and says, pay me what you owe you. And the man begs and says, have mercy on me, says the exact same words. But the forgiven one doesn't offer the same mercy and demands repayment. Well, the rich owner heard of this and called the one that he had forgiven back in and said, how dare you? It would be very easy in this story for us to see ourselves as the one forgiven, but not want to see ourselves as the one who turns on someone else. Jesus mixes it all up and says, y'all are complicated beings. So, today, it's not just so much which character am I. The story and the parable today take us deeper when we consider how we find every single one of the characters, every single type of soil in ourselves. In Genesis, we come along in the accounts of these early people chosen by God, the God who calls to and speaks to all people, who seeks to draw all people to himself, the same God who chose and reached out in these unique ways to Abraham and Sarah, to Hagar and Ishmael, her son, to Isaac and Rebekah, and now to Esau and Jacob. Who are you in this story? Whose story have you lived? More deeply than that, what parts of yourself do you find resonating with, humming in recognition with, in each of the characters in the story, in each of the events? So, what do you find? What do you do? Sorry, what of you do you find in each of the people in this early family in Scripture? What of you do you find in each of them? What in you has been Isaac, the silent one, the one who survived the blinding and frightening faith of his father, that took them far out into the world away from others and took Isaac to the threat of death? Who found life again with Rebekah after he lost his mother, his only true comfort, but who was blind at the end and couldn't tell his sons apart from one another. What in you is Rebekah, full of life and vigor and daring to take a journey that echoed the journey of Abraham two generations earlier? To leave all that was familiar and go to be with a man she had never met because she was willing to trust the messenger servant, who herself was not able to have children until she was older, and then bore the unsufferable wrestling of her twins while pregnant with them and in all the years that followed, having two nations at war within her. Ah, what in within you has been like Rebekah? With two nations at war. When are you Esau, the hairy and strong and ruddy and loving outdoors hunter, burly wild man, maybe a bit Neanderthal, living life in the wild, in the fields, thinking with his gut and following his immediate hunger, despising, or leaving aside, throwing aside what was given to him by birth. When are you Jacob? Smooth and smaller and quieter, a watcher. Someone who loved life around the house and the tents. A cook, maybe a mama's boy. Thinking on his feet and snatching at an opportunity to get what he wants. Stealing what belonged to someone else by a cheap bargain. The fact is, folks, we're all broken, weak, fallible, and sinful. And we are all sinned against. And we are all gifted with unique gifts and bear and show glorious images of the God who created us. We are free through Jesus Christ from sin and death, and so we don't need to hide ourselves in shame. There's no condemnation, as Paul says in Romans, no condemnation. So we can be free of shame and fear and hiding. The question is, can we learn? And can we face the reality of all that we are and have been? And by doing so, can we begin to open our eyes? And can we grant others that same level of complexity, that same not simply one character identity, but a multitude of identities? Assuming that they also carry a similar range of wounds and gifts, of weaknesses and created glories. So, now to the New Testament, to the Gospel. And this is my favorite of Jesus' parables. It's a sower went out to sow, and the sower spread the seeds everywhere. Just everywhere. What kind of a farmer is this, in the first place? What kind of a sower just throws seeds everywhere? I've been tuning in to a website, a set of podcasts and blog articles by Farmers of Faith, and particularly tied into the Episcopal Church. And they've been running a series on black farmers, African-American farmers, and how blacks have fared with farming in America. And it's been hard, let me tell you. And farmer agencies and organizations have not made it easy for black farmers to get the access that they need and the approvals that they need to move forward. So there's a young woman, a young African-American woman who's entered into smaller farming, posted an article about starting small, and there's a picture of her planting a row of seeds. That's how it goes. You plant seeds in rows, right? And you conserve your seeds because you want them to grow where you want them to be. And you plant them in an orderly way and you hope for the best and you don't just scatter them. But here is this farmer, this sower in Jesus's parable doing just the thing you don't do. He's just scattering the seeds everywhere. Not just on a tilled field, everywhere. What kind of a farmer is this? What kind of sower just throws seeds everywhere? This is the generosity of God. This is the very generosity of God. All God's good gifts go everywhere. It rains on the just and the unjust. It rains down seeds, manna from heaven. God's good gifts, grace and love. What kind of a sower are you? Are you one who conserves for the right moment, the right time, the right bit of rain and soil, and you're not going to give the seed until it's just right? There's some virtue in that. But God invites us to be the sower that is scattering God's gifts of goodness and love and grace wildly. So then what kind of soil are you? Well, you could pick one and say, that's mostly me. But more deeply, where do you find each of these different soils in yourself? And Yeah. What has been that particular soil in your life? Where in your life have you felt packed, trodden on, ruts formed, asphalt poured? Where have things become so packed down and trodden on that it's hard to get in? Where in your life is that soil that is rocky, stony, pebbly, not much fine material? And sure, seeds can come and creep in and might find a little water, but it evaporates quickly. And it really takes some remarkable seeds to put the roots down deep and get to soil underneath all of that. What kind of soil is that? That's the backfill kind of soil or gravel in your life that doesn't have much substance. Where is that soil in your life that's full of thorns and thistles and weeds? I've got a weed that's growing in my garden that I really don't like. It's got fern-like leaves, but it's sticky, and it sticks to your hand, it sticks to the leaves, it sticks to the plants and leaves and stems of what I'm trying to grow and covers them up. It's intrusive, and it gets in the way. What are those kind of soils in your life? And then where is the soil that's rich, that has been fertile, where you've seen things blossom and come to fruition and bear fruit? That is God's good gift. But so are the other soils, because all the earth is the Lord's. All the earth is the Lord's. And this is why God scatters the seed everywhere. And every soil can bear fruit. There are these cracks in the sidewalks right by our columbarium at the church where people are interred, their ashes are interred. And there are these beautiful flowers coming up that are like little pansies, yellow and purple, through the cracks. Nobody planted them there. Seeds find their way. Seeds find their way. And so it is with God. I invite you to continue to meditate on these texts over the next week and pray. How am I each of these characters? How am I each of these soils? And let God be in conversation with you. Because that's where transformation begins to open a doorway, where the Holy Spirit can come in, where soil can be tilled and worked and changed and transformed, and where seeds can find their way. Let it be so with you, and let it be so with others around you. Amen.